Okay, here we go. Gainsayer again, part two. We said this morning we're not doing this for him, for Jay, that's his initial, because if he can go through those other sermons and not get what's going on, he's just like Paul said, this is a waste of time, it's vain, just going to cause strife, and he's doting about words, and doting about is just putzing around, doing stuff, nothing's going in, nothing's registering, it's just like, what a waste of time. So we're doing this for ourselves, and it's interesting. I enjoy doing this, and I guess I don't want it to be for my own arrogance or for my own pride or self-worth or whatever, but I enjoy my Bible. I haven't walked my perfect walk. I haven't made some changes I need to change. Our flesh is still flesh. It's just like Paul. You know, when we want to do the right thing, we don't. When we don't, we do. Or I don't know that thing. I can't ever do that thing. So that's kind of where we are. But for me to find out what he's really done to me and for me and be able to read this Bible and make sense of it, it's very exciting. I enjoy it. Enjoy it. And the other thing I enjoy reading is Louis L'Amour, but somehow that's just different than my Bible. But at least it's clean. And okay. I've heard people tell me that Louis L'Amour has wrecked their marriage. Well, I think Paul's done a much better job of wrecking marriages than any cowboy in Louis L'Amour's books. But it's fun to read that stuff because that's what went out, that's what has gone on out here, whatever. We still got guys just east of us, cowboys that live out on the range during the summer. And I just found out the other day we've even got the good old-fashioned big wolves around here. I didn't know that. So I have to put my dog outside more often. I could have saved $50 if I'd have kept my other two dogs and just tied them up outside when we moved here. Anyway, I'll take all that out of the video. Here we are, Sunday night, New Year's Day, evening. Part two, gainsayer stuff again. I keep hearing my cord making noises. Okay, here was his second letter after he wrote to me and said that he's back and he had his heart breaking for me. And I wrote him, you know, whatever it is I wrote to him. And here's what he says in his second email. Oh, let's see, December 25th, 2011, 9:23, 7 p.m. Let's go to the next one here. Do not worry. My final authority is the King James Bible, not my inner feelings or my education. Apparently, I said that's what it was for him. Correct me if I'm wrong. I've been trying for like 13, 14, 15 sermons, Jay. Obviously, you cannot tell when you are wrong. He says, correct me if I am wrong. But the doctrine of rightly dividing by Paul only is the doctrine that we should get all our doctrine, etc., for today from Paul's epistles only. That is correct, is it not? You know, here's this word thing again. We should get all our doctrine. If he knew what he meant by our doctrine, then yes, he's right. But what he means is the rest of the Bible then isn't doctrine. Yes, the rest of the Bible is doctrine. Let's see, Genesis, well, that's doctrine to the guys after Noah, Adam and Eve, that's their doctrine. We still learn what their doctrine was. We learn the Jewish doctrine, the law. We learn in the Gospels, it's still the Jewish law. But now their Messiah has come back, and he's teaching them his doctrine. Then we have the Great Commission, where those guys are supposed to take his doctrine that he taught then out to the world. And then we have Paul's doctrine, which is to the Gentiles. Then we have the tribulation doctrine, which is Hebrews to Jude. Then you've got Revelation, which is past, present, and future. So yes, we should get our doctrine from all the Bible, but we want to get all our doctrine is from Paul. I know he doesn't know he said that. So, Jay, if you're listening, you know, you said the right thing, but I know you don't believe what you said. If so, then I do understand what rightly dividing by Paul means, right? I understand what you were saying in your sermons. I have one more sermon to listen to in the series. Right. This guy's listened to all of those sermons and still has no clue. I don't believe. But anyway, whatever, you know. I have many things to say, but I do not know if you want to hear them. Well, my sermons this morning told you that answer. I will just give you one. You said that the proof that 1 John 2:18 is addressed to the tribulation saints was the phrase, "It is the last time." Okay, let's look at 1 John 2:18. Here we go. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Okay? I'm going to make a point before we get to what he says to make me want to say that point, but notice this is in the back of your Bible. Okay, we'll come back to this. This is after Paul's stuff. But what you hear is his question here. He says, 1 John 2:18 is addressed to the tribulation saints was the phrase, it is the last time. Now, look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Okay. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Okay. So Peter talks about it, okay? He says, it describes the period when Christ was on the earth as the last times. Okay? So far he's totally right, but he doesn't know it. Because I'll show you what he says, and he totally misses the whole thing. Yes, these are two verses that tell us these are written for the people during the last times. Now, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2. Are y'all doing this? It's just my own thing here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 to 5. Well, we know all those verses, having a form of godliness, et cetera, from such turn away. And he says, go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, okay? 2 Peter 3, 3. Okay. And it says, who's adorning, let it not... What is that? 1 Peter... 2 Peter 3, 3. Okay. 2 Peter 3, 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. There we go. Yeah. Look at the next one, Jay, just for this bunny trail here. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? Anyway. He says here, look at 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Peter 3. Both describe the last days as future. Now listen to this. This is pretty wild. Peter was clearly writing to people that were alive when he was. Duh. He was not writing to the tribulation saints. Peter was writing to people in the church age. In fact, Paul's ministry was well established by the time 2 Peter was written. So the time period Peter is addressing is the church age. The idea that Hebrews Jude is written to people in the tribulation is not supported by Scripture. And he says, well, even we have strong disagreements, I do hope you had a Merry Christmas. No, I did not have a Merry Christ Mass. I'm not a Catholic, Jay. But let's go back to his thing about this was written during the church age. Well, Jay, this was not written in the church age. The church age begins with Paul. Now, Jesus, I'm going to wing my thoughts here. Jesus was talking to Peter and said, upon this rock I will build my church. So the church was like it was in its infancy, it's in its fetal formed during the Gospels, and what you had to believe would be part of the church was that Jesus was the Messiah. That was a Jewish thing. That was your Jewish membership right there. Nobody else was going to be a member as such. So when he went out to the Great Commission and told these guys to teach everything that he has said with signs following, etc., in Mark 16, Peter was out there. Look at Acts chapter 2. Peter was out there telling people, listen, you Jews, if we get this together, we could still have him be our Messiah. You killed your Messiah. You crucified your Messiah. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? These guys wanted to know what to do. They weren't asking for their salvation. They were saying, what should we do? And so the church gets its start in 41, 42, 43, 44. Not a problem. And if you read through the first part of Acts, which I'm sure you have, Jay, then these guys don't want to hear it, and they kill Stephen. Why didn't they kill Peter? I don't know. But they killed Stephen. And then from that point on, Christ goes to Paul. Now, before Christ went to Paul, and Paul's writings became what they are in the Bible, Paul was alive, Peter was alive. Yes, all these guys were alive, and they were writing their stuff. Well, who was Peter writing to? Well, in Galatians, we find out who Peter was writing to. Galatians chapter 2. Peter was writing to the Jews, the circumcision. It says in Galatians chapter, the old verses we've heard before. I know we've heard them during this series of sermons, but let me try it again. Verse 7, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, that's the Gentile, that's Paul, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same as mighty me toward the Gentiles. So, it's very clear. Peter was the man to go to the Jews with this Savior still. Peter was the apostle to the Jews. Okay, so what Peter was writing was to the Jews. Paul's writings were to the Gentiles. But we also know that in the book of Acts, we see Paul still writing to the Jews and Gentiles, and eventually just to the Gentiles. So when Paul wrote Hebrews, it was to the Jews. But Peter was the man for the Jews. So all these writings that were to the Jews were put on hold, obviously, after Stephen was killed, because he went to Paul. And then you find out by reading through Acts that Paul slowly fades away from the Jews and goes to Gentiles. Peter starts a little bit with the Gentiles and the Jews, and Peter fades out because Peter is the apostle to the Jews. So the writings that Peter did are to the Jews. So along comes God and takes all this history and very simply puts it together into a Bible. And knowing, of course, that the Hebrew books and the early Bibles were not in this order. That when the 1611 came along, the stuff is in its final proper order, which we call dispensational order. And so thus we have Paul with the risen Christ church age doctrine. We have Peter at the end again, because there's that dispensation of grace that Paul says was kept hidden. Nobody knew it was coming. Nobody knew about it, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Okay? And so, where is God going to put what Peter and James and John wrote to the Jews, because they were assuming that Christ was coming back? They had the option Christ was going to come back. And if he was going to come back after they had crucified him, they were going to still have to go through that time of Jacob's trouble. They were still going to have to go through the tribulation. So Peter, James, and John, and Jude are writing to the Jews, yes, during that time, not during the tribulation, but during that time that the tribulation was coming and was going to be there. That was the doctrine they had to follow. But alas, they killed Stephen. And Paul comes on the scene. So God takes all these words, these scriptures, puts them into a book, and puts Paul, this is a Jewish book, Jay, from Genesis to Revelation, it's a Jewish book, except for one little spot there that's from Paul to the Gentiles. That little splurge right in there is to the Gentiles. Jews can tap in if they want, but few of them do, because they're all blinded. And there is a remnant in there, and that remnant's going to carry on to the tribulation. Romans chapter 11 tells us, Jay, that when the Gentiles are not interested in the goodness of God, which is the only place you get the goodness of God, is from Paul's teachings, then God will cut off the Gentiles and go back to the Jews. Thus we have the tribulation. So this Bible is a holy Bible. God put this together. Man didn't put this together. This is not a history book from the beginning to the end. And he makes a comment. I'll read that to you here in a few minutes. But this is a dispensational order book. And Paul's teachings are right where they belong, right to us. This is now the church age. And the church age is taught by the risen Savior, not the gospel teachings. Now, when the Gentiles are done, according to Romans 11:22, he'll go back to the Jews. And the writings that Peter, James, and John, and Jude, and Paul, when he wrote to the Jews, the book Hebrews, when it's time for that again, it'll be the tribulation. So where would it be? Of course God would put it after Paul, even though it was written before and during Paul. But it was written to the Jews. So because the stuff in Paul's writings are not directly directed to the Jews, then Peter, James, and John, and Jude's writings are after Paul. Is that too simple, Jay? And where does the scripture say that? It's called understanding your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. That's how it reads. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And if it's not rightly divided, it's profane and vain babblings. So, Jay, you're going from Genesis to Revelation trying to apply it all. You are teaching people profane and vain babblings. You're like a canker sore in a person's mouth, is what the Bible says you are. He was writing to the Jews, and according to the Bible, the Jews become the tribulation saints during the tribulation after Paul. Does that? No, don't even ask the question, does that make sense? Because I know it doesn't make sense to you. Let's go to his last letter here. I would love it if you could respond. I told him I'd write, okay, Jay, I'll do another sermon or two, you know, to see if you can get it, but really, da-da-da-da. I would love if you could respond, he says. Thank you for taking the time to do this. Oh, Mr. Nice Guy, he's very polite. My prayer is that these discussions have eternal benefit. And when I read the word my prayer, I remembered Peter. You know, he was in jail, and the people were praying for him, and he came and he knocked on the door and said, hi, this is Peter, and they say, no, it can't be because Peter's in jail. We're praying that he gets out of jail. Well, he was out of jail, and they didn't realize that their prayer had been answered. Okay, so Jay, if you were truly praying that these discussions have eternal benefit, I suggest that you consider this rightly dividing. But again, Paul says they're not going to, so move on. Oh, yeah, here's the rest of his letter. If I am in error, may the Lord use you to open my eyes to see. No, Jay, I don't want God to use me to open your eyes because I won't say it. It takes the scriptures to open your eyes. It takes rightly dividing those scriptures. It's called acknowledging the truth in 1 Timothy chapter 2. You acknowledge the truth of the King James Bible rightly divided, and God will show you that understanding. Not me. So you turn to other people to help you work. No, you turn to your book, and you can't turn to your book yet. You turn to a person with his book. And if it doesn't make sense to you, you don't do it. If it makes sense to you, then you figure it must be in the church age. No, you've got to look at that book as a rightly divided Bible. You've got to look at the fact that that stuff with Paul is what's to you and the rest is for you. Remember we said this morning, we learn a lot from Daniel. We learn a lot from Genesis. We learn in Genesis that we're not made in God's image. We're made in Adam's image. How many people know that? Well, yes, that is us. You know, the world is still cursed. And what goes on in Genesis is still happening today. We are in Adam's image. And you can do anything you want. You are still in Adam's image. You can try as hard as you want to clean up your walk. And you are still in Adam's image. Unless, of course, you're saved according to Paul's teachings. Then he cuts us away from that fleshly image. Anyway, we'll get a sermon on that someday. Okay, it says, may the Lord use you, know the scriptures, Jay, to open my eyes to see that Paul only is what the Bible teaches. And if you are in error, may the Lord use me to open your eyes. Jay, you haven't got a thing you can teach me. And it's not because I've got it all together, but I don't trust you. That's all it is. I'm not claiming all knowledge here. I'm just saying, you can't teach me something because I don't trust you. Whatever it is you teach me, I better check it out. I think it was years even before I got into this stuff, I realized that in my King James Baptist churches, that if this Bible is the Word of God, I'm going to put this over everybody, even that pastor up there. And maybe that's why we actually got to where we are today, is because I put that book where it belongs years ago. Okay, anyway. May the Lord use me to open your eyes that Paul only is not supported by Scripture. Now listen to this. But rather the Scripture contradicts the teaching. Okay, now, you know why Paul's Scriptures contradict all the teaching of the rest of the Bible? Well, think about it, Jay, and anybody else. That's because Paul's writings don't match the rest of the Bible, and they're not supposed to match the rest of the Bible. Those are different dispensations in the rest of the Bible. Paul says in Galatians 1, if any man preach any other gospel, well, that would be Adam and Eve's, that would be Abraham's, the law, that would be Moses, that would be the gospels of Jesus to the Jews, that would be the Great Commission, that would be to the tribulation, that would be the millennial doctrines, all those teachings. You preach those today, then you're accursed. Okay, so, and he says here in verse 6, 7, which is not another, but there should be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. You try to teach the gospel of Jesus during the gospel's day, you are actually perverting the gospel of Christ, the risen Savior. Because he didn't teach that stuff to us. He taught it to the Jews. You want to try to put Peter's gospel on us today, on yourself? You're perverting the gospel of Christ. Because that's written to the Jews, the Jewish saints during the tribulation. You want to try to put Jude on yourself? You want to put James on yourself? You want to put Hebrews on yourself? Then you can lose your salvation. You want to put 1 John on yourself? Then 1 John chapter 3 says, if you do anything wrong, if you sin, you're no longer born of God. 1 John 1, 9, Jay, have you figured that out yet? Is a Catholic a Christian? Because he asked for forgiveness. That's what 1 John 1, 9 says. Now, you haven't been able to answer that yet. Why not? Because it's not answerable except it's tribulation. Okay. Amazing. So, yeah, Paul's Scripture does contradict the rest of the Bible. No doubt about it. That's because that's written to the Gentiles. That's the dispensation of grace. Ephesians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 3. Okay. He says, the doctrine of Paul only has not convinced me yet. Right. Well, duh. Because I still see the main supports of the teaching are not based on biblical teaching, but on teaching based on men's opinions. Everything I teach, I can show you scriptures, and you're going to see where it comes from Paul. That's the clue. Everything you say you believe, you can teach from scriptures? Well, yeah, you're picking and choosing different scriptures. One verse you say belongs to us, and the next verse belongs to the Jews during the tribulation. The next verse goes, how do you do that? Go to Ruckman School, find out that it's different than what Hiles teaches. Go to Hiles School, find out it's different than what James Knox teaches. Go to James Knox School and find out he teaches differently what the Catholics teach. Go to a Catholic church, they teach differently what the Lutherans teach. And they all claim they get it from the Bible. And they can all show you scriptures. But if they go to Paul only, case is closed. Then he finishes up with this fantastic statement here. Such as the Bible is written in dispensation order, you're not going to find any verse in Scripture to base that doctrine on. We're not? What does Paul call? What's it called in Ephesians chapter 3? It's the dispensation of grace. Was Paul's teachings applied during the Gospels? No. Was Paul's teachings applied during the tribulation according to Peter? No, he says that the people during the tribulation can't figure out what Paul has to say. They have to wrest the Scriptures to make them fit. Was Paul's teachings taught during the Old Testament law? No. It's just obvious, Jay, that the Bible is dispensational, and it's in the right order. What's the last thing going on? Tribulation. What's the very last thing going on in Revelation? Millennium. In fact, do you ever wonder, Jay, why in the last couple of chapters of Revelation. It says anybody changes the words of God, adds or subtracts, God's going to plague them, kill them, kind of stuff. You ever see that in there? How many times have you ever heard that said to people today? You write a different Bible, God's going to get you. Have you noticed that God didn't get them? We got, what, up to five, almost 300, 400, 500 Bibles now. How come God isn't killing these people or giving them the plague? Oh, because Revelation 20 and 21 is millennial. And 22, that's when they're going to get them. That's when God is going to take them down for changing his words. And it can get into Zach. It's an interesting subject there. Yeah, sorry, Jay, but it is dispensational. He says here, if the Bible was written in dispensational order, Job would come right after Genesis. I'm sorry, Jay, what a dumb thing to say. You know, the Old Testament is the Old Testament. That's where different things go on. There's where history order, chronological, is mixed up all over the place. Get what they call that, a chronological Bible. And read the Old Testament in a chronological manner. You'll see where it fits in. So when you say the Bible was, if the Bible was written in dispensational order, Job would come right after Genesis. You're not even using the correct word. If you're putting Job after Genesis, you're doing it chronologically, not dispensationally. It's amazing. Jay, you can write me some more letters or probably give me some more sermon stuff to do, but basically, you have no clue. And I'm not going to get it across to you, because if God can't show you in the Scriptures, I certainly can't show you. But it was there this morning and tonight for us to learn that it really is not confusing. And it really is easy to understand. It's not, how's this go? It's not what we understand that's difficult. It's to do what we should do that's difficult for us. Well, Paul even couldn't do it. So these Baptist Bible guys who think that they can walk clean enough to get a blessing from God, think that they're better than the Jews. They're better than the people during Paul's day. They're better than Paul. Sorry, guys. You got it all wrong.